ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network,
home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
Hey everyone, welcome to this week's episode of Why Am I Sad? I'm Cass.
I'm George.
And I'm Tom.
And we're fine.
Hello sunshine, hello blue skies, hello lovely day.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-da-da.
So fine, in fact. We're going to answer some questions today. So
that fine?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh,
fine grit. Wear that sandpaper you use when you want it to be shiny, not just smooth.
Ooh, that's the classy sandpaper.
Yeah.
Ooh,
what's that? What's is it? Wet and dry sandpaper? Is that the two kinds? Or
oh, I'm just thinking of how fine the grit is, and the finer it is, the finer your piece will be at the end. But you have to do it in stages. You know, much like your own life.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Rub an abrasive surface on your own life until you are the shiniest you can be.
Yeah, and then you
and
can
the
move on to
the
a,
surface
like,
is less that you
abrasive
rub on your own life.
And less abrasive and less abrasive.
Yep.
And then eventually,
you're just cuddling a dog.
All right, our first question is as such. Over the past 2 months, I felt myself feeling a little bit more down and irritated than usual until 3 weeks ago I had a full-on depressive episode. I've talked to my doctor already, I've made some therapy appointments to work through things, but I was hoping you all could help me with some immediate practical strategies of just getting through the workday. I've only been at this current job for a few months, so I don't feel I can ask for leave or anything. I work for a smallish events company, all remote work, except business travel to events, in a senior position. I'm also a one-person department, so there isn't someone else to help with my projects. It's really hard to be positive or flexible when someone gives you criticism or wants you to change something you've been working on, and when a couple comments make you cry for over an hour. After that horrid extra depression week, I'm muddling through now. Personal life and hobbies are feeling okay enough, but work is hard. Old work trauma and doubts keep bubbling up. I'm also finding that with my depression where it's at, I can't handle work stress. A difficult phone call or personal issue are enough to make me want to quit the job entirely. The job is making my depression worse and the depression is making the job worse, but I know logically this job isn't terrible even though I feel like it is. Any advice? It sounds like you really do need a break. I find that any sort of stress or stress adjacent thing, like when you're sad, in my brain previously, it's been one of those things where you're like, oh, you know, I can be like, you know, 3 out of 10 sad, and I can be like 4 out of 10 stressed or whatever, and I can be like 3 out of 10 happy, and it sort of balances it out. But it's not so much that there are all these different bars to fill. I feel like it's one bar that just constantly you just keep pouring stuff on, and it fills, because we've all had those moments where it's like one thing happens and all of a sudden you're upset, and it's almost confusing because we don't think of ourselves as constantly filling up to a level. We think of like, oh, you know, I'm pretty stressed about this, I'm pretty sad about this, I'm pretty happy about this, but our brains, I don't think, as complex and beautiful machinery as they are, they're not that tricky, you know, like things like that. There's only so much stress we can handle, and stress can be mental, it can be physical, it can come from putting in mental effort into something that you really care about. It can come from being emotionally stressed about an issue. It can come from, you know, having financial stress, having stress about how your stress is already affecting you. Like, it all counts and it all stacks.
Yes.
And you just need it. You'd need it drain your bar a bit. And I know that sounds really difficult. And you've said you've only been in your job for a few months, so it's, you know, hard to ask for time off. But I think it's worth it.
It's not. It's not even a case of it's hard to ask for time off. The way the world works is that when you have a job, you have sick leave, and you're entitled to take that sick leave. The last 18 months have completely changed the way I think about my job. I used to very much be like, "Oh, I can't really take leave because you know, blah blah blah." But it's like, no. I'm going to get very angry socialist for a bit, and I'd like to apologize in advance before I dive down that hole.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, I love this.
We have been fed the lie that a work-life balance that's good is 5 days of work, 2 days off for those of us who work full-time. That's not balance. That's the most uneven seesaw I've ever seen in my fucking life. Now, you've already got the benefit, by the sounds of it, having remote working, which is only something a few workplaces have embraced, and they're trying to get people back in offices. And it's like, it doesn't matter. If the work gets done and someone can get that work done in 2 hours, say, instead of 5 hours sitting in an office with interruptions constantly, then let them do it. Like, your boss is not your friend. They are your boss first. As someone who works for a podcast network where my boss is my friend. in terms of this kind of stuff, so like, you should not be made to feel guilty, stressed. If your workplace is putting any pressure on you to be like, oh no, it's really hard for you to take time off, then that isn't a healthy workplace to work for. There's so many things that workplaces do and have done. Oh, we're like a big family. No, you're not. You're a workplace. Yeah. Like, just... You should not feel bad that you need to put yourself before your job, because guess what? You should always put yourself before your job. Your job is a thing that provides you money to live your life. That is what it is. And if your job is fucking up your ability to do the thing that it's supposed to pay to do, then you've got to take time off. You're owed time off. 2 months of work, you'll have accrued enough leave. You've got sick leave you can take. You can take personal days. If you're remote working already, you may be even able to be like, hey, can I like start my remote work a little bit later on and manage your time better that way, even in a quiet, private way, so your boss doesn't realize you are taking time off to say, I don't know, watch some test cricket. but yeah, that's basically my whole stance on it, is that, and I know that if you're in a headspace where things aren't great, it can seem hard to do this, but as someone who went through a period of my life where I just, every stressful thing that happened to me, I just put in my back pocket to worry about later. And then one day I couldn't sit down because my back pockets were full. So.
Perfect. You stand up at work.
Yeah.
You sit down anyway.
New cancer, baby.
Buy new pants, all pockets. Then, yeah, if you need to take 2 days, 3 days, just whatever to do nothing or to go to those appointments, do it. Put your job second. Always.
I completely agree with Tom. Like, if you think about especially the way office situations are managed, you will hear the language that people use to describe. You have a manager. It is their job to manage you and the things that happen. They get paid more to do it. So if someone is above you and it is their job to manage what you do, obviously not micromanage, but, you know, manage the workload for everyone below them, and you come to them saying, I can't work because I'm sick, it's part of their job to sort it out. Like, that is what they're being paid to do. You know, if someone comes to you with a problem that's relevant to you, it sounds like you're the kind of person who would be like, yeah, well, this one's my responsibility. It sounds like you do take responsibility for the work that you do. This isn't your job. Like, it's not your job to manage workflow, you know, to the sides of you, if that makes sense. And if you also think, you know, we're referred to in office jobs as human resources. They're seeing us as resources. And even in terms of, if we're putting it like in those machine terms, if you are not well in any capacity, you are not going to be working to your best ability. And it is much more, even in this shitty way of looking at workers as not people, they want you working at your better capacity, and you will feel a lot better doing it. You will produce better work if you're happier at your job. And it sounds like you do realize that you do like your job outside of these circumstances. Then... If you're having trouble asking for time off, say you are...
Trick him. No, don't trick him. Sorry. But no, trick him.
Well...
No, tricking him.
Like, look, if you're working from home and you're like, I need to do these things, set expectations of like, this is what I'm going to be able to do on my work from home day. See if you can do it fast and take the rest of the day off. I don't know, set up a little...
Trick him.
Like a remote control car to move your mouse around or something. Like, if you're still concerned about, you know, work and stuff, sometimes a lot of work is... being there or proving that you are there, you can trick them. Also, if you need to ask for time off for your mental health, that's fine. And if you're in an environment where you don't think that's going to go down very well, bad environment, But just say you're sick because that counts. Like if you are not well in any respect, you are sick. I've done it before, being like, sorry, I was sick. If I'm in a situation where I don't want to get into mental health, because you know that if you say mental health things, people are going to get weird and ask questions, or they're going to be like, oh, what? You like sometimes you're just in those situations where you're like, I know if I say this, you're not just going to take it at face value because it's not something you personally understand. Say you're sick. Like that's so fine. If especially if you've any mental thing that happens to you ends up having physical ailments. So talk about those.
If like you want to tell the truth.
Yeah, you know?
If
you want to still be telling the truth. Like if you are really struggling, you know, with depression and you can't get out of bed, be like, I'm sorry, I'm really sick at the moment. I'm just going through like some fatigue and I've spoken to doctors, because that's what a psychologist is. Like I've spoken to doctors, they say it's gonna get better, I just need to rest. You can get notes from your psychologist if you need. Like they are, I don't know about therapists or specifically, but doctors are doctors. They can write you a note, like if you need.
yeah, it all counts.
I think one of the things though is that if you just started, and look, I know this is a stigma thing, a mental thing as well, but if you just, and like mental health is something which is definitely important and needs to be acted on. But obviously when you're first starting out, especially you know the vibe, saying something like, I need a mental health day after 2 weeks is sending a terrible signal to your boss. Like I can understand that logic of not wanting to.
Yeah.
Like I actually get that. So like what I would say though is this person might be falling into the category though of not doing anything. And it's like a sick day is fine, because you can just totally take a sick day and be like, nah, I don't want to talk today. And the problem a lot of people do with that is that they feel like the world's going to end if they take a sick day. And that's always like, I think it's a thing that people struggle to get through. So while I don't know about claiming the mental health day early on, I reckon a sick day you can do.
That counts.
You can do that. And then enjoy the fuck out of that sick. Just sleep, do whatever. But there's nothing better than a sick day.
Yeah.
Fake sick days are my favorite. Ugh,
well, nothing that, best.
Chucking a sickie, it's Australian tradition.
If you don't rest, you won't be well. We need rest so badly. I had a day where I had worked way too much in a couple of days, and I went outside and I was like, I know that I'm about to work a really big thing. So I found that I had a day off and I was like, I need to actually make time for myself to rest. Otherwise I'm not going to be good. Like if I'm not actively resting and actively resting, but you know, I had taken days off before and gone on hikes, and it's like, that's not a day off. That's not rest. You're not actually taking time for yourself. So I went outside and I lied down on my table in the backyard and I hung my head over the end of the table and I watched bugs for so long. And it was one of the nicest things I've done, because even the bugs were resting. They live for like a week and I watched bugs rest, and it made me feel so much nicer and more calm. Like I already knew, I was like, okay, I got to rest. Like that's really important. If I don't rest, I think I'd just been doing like training at work. And I'm like, if I don't rest, I'm not going to remember anything. Like that's, your brain needs time to process things. So I was like, do it so you can, you know, it was a tool for me to have like a better at work, better in my day-to-day life. And these bugs, like there was this one particular leaf that had like grown up out of the ground and flopped over a little bit. And a little bee came out and sat down on the leaf, and he started scrubbing his eyes and he tooled out his back legs and started brushing off his back. And then I was like, oh man, that guy's going at it. And then he just sat there for a bit and then he flew away. And then a fly came over and sat on the same leaf. Like there was a good leaf in the garden that so many, but the fly did the same thing. He just like washed his little eyes. He rubbed his little back. He did some self-care and he just sat. And then there was another giant leaf, I think from cabbage, and all these moths were sitting on it. And it was like four moths on a leaf and they just sat there. And then every now and then one of them would get up, go eat some pollen from a flower and go back. And just watching, like we always think of, we have that phrase, busy bee. We think of bugs as like these like really strong workers with amazing work ethic, but they rest. Like they don't have minds, and they still, like they don't have the mind to be like, oh, maybe I should do this word. And they still know to rest because it is so important. Take a sick day. It really is important. Like it's so important.
If your work is built in a way where they're like, oh, well, your job's too important for you to be, like, it's going to be hard, then you need to be paid more.
So yeah. The solution is you either need way more money, because if your job is so important that you can't take a single day off, you're not being paid enough.
Mm-hmm.
You should be like on five figures. I don't know more. I don't know how numbers work.
Definitely more.
A lot of figures.
We can hope they're on five figures at least.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Six figures.
I'm on four figures.
Five figures is like minimum 10 grand. So
yeah, yeah. So six figures. But yeah, but if I as someone who used to not take days off when I was sick, or if I was like feeling a bit under the weather, I just used to push through, and then on a weekend I would just I'd be no good because I've pushed myself through a week when I should have stayed home. Because I was always like, oh no, I don't need to take a sick day. I don't need to take a sick day. They just sit there. My boss at my current job used to send me an email every, like, you know, end of 12 months being like, you have too much annual leave. Like, that's another thing that sounds insane, but your workplace, so even if you're struggling to look at it from your own perspective and you want to look at it from a business perspective, businesses need you to take annual leave. They need, because they have budgets and they actually have a stream of money set aside for your annual leave that needs to be spent every 12 months.
Because otherwise they lose it.
Because otherwise they lose it, but also otherwise someone looks at
works.
Some places do.
Some places lose it.
Lose the annual. Where does it go?
No, the budget.
But the budget, yeah. But like, yeah. I don't know.
But also, it looks bad on their books. So, from a business perspective, they want employees taking breaks. So, you know, you've been there for a few months. You could take a day off, a sick day, which doesn't count as annual leave anyway. You could take a couple of sick days for medical appointments. Your boss doesn't, you don't have to tell your boss what they're for. Just be like, hey, I've got a couple of health things I've got to take care of. I'm a bit unwell. I've got to go to a doctor. Like, that's, you can get a doctor's note. You can do all of that.
Yeah. You can go to a GP, and if the GP knows your, like, psych and your treatment history, they can write you a very general sick note. So it comes from a non-mental health doctor.
You can get them from pharmacists too. You don't even have to go to a GP.
Wow. But if you do less than two, like, that's because I remember I used to make a rule for myself when I was working at the bank, which was always like every, I think it was 4 months or maybe it was 3-4 months or whatever. I was like, because I don't get sick that much at all. So I'm always like, take 2 days off always, just because it's going to compile. So at least do that every few months. Take 2 days off in a row. I do 2 days because it's more realistic than 1 day. Who has 1 day? It's like, have two. It's more realistic. Mate, everyone should do it.
You should.
Important because I think some people don't because they think that they're so important. But it's like, unless you're doing your own, working your own business, like you're just not. No one is. Everything's fine.
Yeah, and also so, like if you think
just feel guilty for no reason.
The way you've written this email, it seems like you are a very compassionate person. If someone else came to you and they were like, "I am sick, I need to stop working," you wouldn't be like, "Oh, evil, mean, selfish person! How dare you? We have papers that need stapling." You'd be like, oh my god, I hope you feel better. Like, no, I've never been in a situation where someone was sick and people didn't go, oh, are they okay? That is a person. You are a person. Everyone will want you to be well. And it sounds like people, like, it sounds, you're saying you're working alone, but if you go away for a bit and come back and people can tell you are better rested and you seem happier, they'll be like, wow, you look great. I'm so glad you're better. You know?
That's it. Like, yeah, and again, it can be hard to do that, but you just should take that time, especially because it sounds like you've already done the trickier parts of the steps.
Mm.
It sounds like you've done all the other stuff already and you've gone to the GP and you've got your psych appointments. So that's just literally the work element is just the next step of that. To make it easier to digest for you to work your way through it, that's just the next practical step is go to GP, get psych referral, go see psych, take time off to see psych, and maybe another extra day using the George method of 2 days off.
Yeah.
Give yourself time off. Like, even if you're feeling, you know, once you get through this patch and you're feeling better again, in a couple of months, just give yourself a long weekend every now and again. It's something that I've...
Long weekend's too obvious. Too obvious. You got to do Tuesday, Wednesday.
That's take annual leave over a long weekend. Just take annual leave on a Friday and a Monday. Give yourself a four-day weekend. Just do it every now and again. It's something... I've for the first time in ages, I've taken 3 weeks off over Christmas. I normally don't. I normally take like a little bit of time off, but I normally be like, oh no, I'll just like work here and there. But it's like, no, take time off, do stuff, like enjoy life. Don't work until death.
The only thing I would say, though, I'm all for the fake sick day because that's a one or two thing, but I do think in a system, people can be a bit judgy when you, like, are too obviously, like, needing time off to look after yourself, as legit as that is. So I think that's the part which maybe they have an issue with. So while I'm all for don't feel guilty in your head, there is the balancing act, I say, at the same time, where it's like, yeah, in a system like that, in a business environment, you know, it is something which I can understand their issues there.
Yeah.
Separate to guilt.
So kill your boss. Don't kill your boss.
That's what I mean. So what do you do in that situation? Especially if you're new, like even if 2 months in, even a sick day is pushing it if you do too many. Like, it is a bit more of a difficult situation then, you know?
I would incorporate, and because this is something I considered doing in my last job before I left it, I was like, hey, I have annual leave. I'm just going to plan one day off of annual leave for the next, like, several months. So I could just do a 4-day week, or even if it was a day off in the middle of the week. Because I was like, I don't like working full time, actually. This doesn't suit me at all. I don't need the money that much. Like, it's, you know, extra money's nice, but if I'm making more money,
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Stop spending it on trying to have fun or do up the joy damage I took from doing 5 days a week. I'm like, it ends up cancelling itself out at some point, and I figured out that full-time is when it starts cancelling itself out for me. I will be happier, and I don't think I will spend as much money if I'm working less than full time, because then you don't have any time. You end up buying your lunch. Like, your time is my anyway. See if you can schedule annual leave, and if it's
you can't take 4 days off a week for two months.
Do a 4-day working week. So you take 1 day off a week.
Yeah, but I know someone who used to do that. You can't do that.
No, you can. I know someone at my work.
No business would be like, what? We didn't hire someone to be here 4 days a week.
But they've given you annual leave, and it means that you're not going to take a big chunk off during a busy period.
Yeah.
Which, you know,
it benefits them. They don't have the annual leave debt sitting there, and you're still working most weeks.
Yep. And if they ask why, make something up or take up a hobby and say that whole day is for hobby. You know, like, be like, oh, I'm taking a class, or oh, I've been asked to babysit that week or something. Like, lie.
Or you don't have to tell them anything. It's your annual leave day. I'm very strong about this. Fuck the system.
You don't have to say anything. I'm just saying if you're in a position.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
The pandemic has made me go very hard in one direction.
Good, and it should.
Burn it all down.
Yeah. Now, look, that's what I'm saying. The guilt side, forget that, caring about it that way, and they don't give a shit about you. But even you in the system, you have to, like, work with what that system's going to think of you and stuff like that.
Sure,
and that's what I mean, where it's a bit harder.
Yeah, because you don't want it to affect the way people treat you at work if your business is like that. But
don't feel bad ever, because they're fucking
oh my god,
give a shit about
it.
That's what I'm
bad.
Saying. That's the two sides which I'm trying to like highlight there, I guess. The two different things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, alternatively, I've been in a position before where I was doing a job at a time where my mental health wasn't the most bonza it had ever been. In fact, it was probably the least bonza it had ever been. And
kind of love referring to mental health in terms of its level of bonzerness.
Yeah, well, I think that's really how it ends up happening, isn't it? You're just like, oh, we're about a 2 out of 10 on bonds. But for me at that time, I had the same thing. Looking back on that job, it was a wonderful job. I really liked that job. I really liked the people in it. I've thought about returning to it one day because it was really nice. But in that point of my life, I was not doing well. Work was not helping it. It was making it worse. And then I spoke to people in my life who were like, why are you doing this job? Because at the time, didn't realize it was the mental health that was not bonza. And it was like, you are really stressed all the time. Why do you keep this job? And I was like, well, to make money. And then I was like, and I quit on Monday. And I was in a position where I had like, and I will say, I had saved heaps. I had savings. And so I was able to do that. And I am so, so lucky, so privileged to be able to do that. But I quit. I was like, it is, my mental health is more important and I will, you know, drain my savings dry over this. And now I'm working to get them back up again. But that's, you know, that's the decision I made. I don't regret it one bit. Again, really, really lucky to be able to do that. Not everyone can do that. But even just like taking a different job. You know, it sounds like you've said that you're in a senior position. Have you considered just doing a job where the stakes just don't exist, where you can make enough money to get by and then go back to a different job at another time? Because that's an option. Like, I know people who have done really high level positions and then just done like a retail job for a bit. And they're like, wow, this is relaxing work because I'm not responsible for things. I'm not, like, the pressure is so much less. And obviously the pay is different, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know someone who used to be a nurse that went into doing a job in an office. The person training them was like, wow, you're not stressed at all. They're like, yeah, well, if I start this up, no one dies.
Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing too, is that I don't know what your job is, but unless you were, you know, no one's going to die. I don't think.
Yeah. Like, well, I think it'll be fine. I genuinely do. Also, you can quit. But I understand if you don't want to. But just know that it's an option. And if you're choosing not to quit, that's fine. But know that's why you're choosing not to quit.
Correct.
And that, yeah, that's what I was going to like. Because I reckon it's that classic how to solve it step by step. So it's like fake 2 day sickness. That's the first step. And then like start doing everything on the path of like, otherwise I have to quit. And that's the end point. So just do everything before it and realize that's an option as well. That's yeah. kind of makes you feel like yep. you're more in control then being like, okay, here's all the tricks I can use before I get to that, before I feel like I'm draining it, before I feel like I'm annoying them. Like do everything and just line it up and then just work through that list.
I think that's a really good point.
My engineer brain.
Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely.
Make a list and cross it off. Fake sick day. And then, yeah.
Yeah, recognizing the choice is really good. I think especially when the brain is playing silly buggers, it can feel like because you don't really have a choice in those things, it feels like the choice is sort of gone from your life. But if you can see everything that you are doing every day, like get out of bed, go to work, pick up the phone. Like every single one of those is a choice and you could choose not to do it. And if you choose to do it, amazing. If you choose not to do it, okay, might have some consequences. But everything you get to pick and it does make you feel a lot more in control. Or not make you feel more in control. It realizes the control that you do have in your life and you do have in your day to day. And then when you make those really positive decisions or those decisions that you want to make, you're like, no, actually I am going to work because I want to go to work. I am going to make myself lunch because I want to, or I'm going to buy myself lunch because I want to. It makes you feel a lot nicer. And it's almost like it reminds me of like that gratitude practicing stuff where you're like, this is what I'm grateful for. But it makes you realize all the things that you have control over, all the choices you're making for yourself and why you're making them. So it's like, no, I want to eat something really nice. I'm going to buy my lunch. Or like, hey, I want to save money. I'm going to make myself lunch. It's always really positive. And it like highlights all your values. Like, and this comes up as well where people are like, oh, I have to go see this person or relative or someone they don't really like. And it's like, I have to. And it's like, but you don't have to. And you could stay home and you could ghost that person and never speak to them again. They're like, oh, but I want to because that's the nice thing to do. It's like, cool. You are making a decision to be kind. Like, that is a value you have. That rules. Like, embrace that. Don't feel bad for making the choice you want to make. And then also don't make choices you don't want to make.
Correct.
Don't make larger choices you don't want to make, yeah. Like, even if your day-to-day involves annoying ones, if it's for something where you're choosing, yeah.
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 I don't know. I feel like that's some stoicism or something. That's a philosopher or something, I think. I don't know.
Yeah. If you know which philosopher we're ripping off, tweet us at HappyLittlePod on Twitter. Our next question for today. Hi, guys. Recently, a friend of mine passed away, and I'm honestly struggling to deal with the loss. I've booked into a GP to get a mental health plan, and once I get that, I'm going to see a therapist about the issue, but I also wanted to get your take on it. I'm in my early 20s, and so was the friend that passed away. I'm really struggling with feelings of guilt of not being around and seeing her more before she passed on. I know the pandemic has posed a whole lot of issues, and as someone who lives in Geelong and she was in Melbourne, contact was hard to make, but I am still struggling with knowing I could have had more time with her than I have. I guess I'm reaching out because I don't really know where to turn, and it hurts to know that the person I loved so much isn't here anymore. Any advice you can give me would be much appreciated. Thank you so much. P.S. Tom, this is why my pledge has taken so long and I'm getting it all off tomorrow. Keep an eye on the How Good's Footy inbox.
I will. I will.
So what's that, what are you doing, Tom? For us who aren't in the How Good's Footy podcast?
So that's a very dumb footy podcast. But one of the rules of How Good's Footy is if your team wins the grand final, you've made the pledge. And last year and the year before, the pledge was to shave your head. We shaved Sean's head on air after Brisbane won the AFLW Premiership. So I'm not sure which flag you're shaving for, but I completely understand why it's been delayed. And sorry, we may have hassled you on our podcast. Take as much time as you need to pledge, but I'm glad you're pledging. So that's the dumb pledge. The pledge we've done for next season is we're all going to get tattoos, which is just, that's forever, baby.
Oh, that's nice. Exciting.
Anyway.
That's, yeah, back to the more serious thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think I can actually talk to this a little bit as someone who's had someone pass away who was close to. And the first thing I would say, and it was weird because I remember thinking it and feeling it, and then seeing it in everyone else and being like, wow, this is so fucking stupid. It was the, because he passed, he died, he was out, he rode a bike and got hit by a car, basically. Fully random thing, completely absurdly random. There's nothing, like, as in, there's nothing, but in your head, even though I don't talk to him every day at all, I talk to him like once a week or whatever, not even, sometimes it'd go longer, a lot longer actually. I had a fluke of seeing him at least a couple of times the few weeks previous. But in my head, I was like, oh, if only I'd somehow just the last time I'd seen him, maybe if I'd chatted to him 3 minutes longer, this butterfly effect wouldn't have happened. Maybe if only I'd messaged him on that day in the morning. Like, you're still making it about you almost in a weird way. And like everyone involved when someone passes away can feel that about like not spending enough time, feel like I could have done something different with them. You're not like alone in that. And that's such an emotional thing where you're like, fuck, I should have done this. It's like, it just happened. Like you can't do anything about it. Mm-hmm. And all you can take from it, like even with him again, it's like, oh man, like the week before he came and he was meant to hang out and then he did. Yeah. But yeah, all you can do is take it from here, but like, you can't be angry at all that past stuff. Cause that's done. Like, you can't really do anything about it. And like, it's not as big as maybe, like, firstly, everyone's thinking that. Literally everyone is thinking that right now. Yeah, who engages the person. So yeah, that's my first thought seeing that. Yeah, it's crazy how much your emotion just says it every time. It's, yeah. Like, I could have messaged him and then it wouldn't have. It's like, fucking idiot.
It's not idiot though. Yeah. And I think things like that are a testament to how much you loved the person. And it comes back to that thing of control again, where you center yourself because you're like, but I'm in control of my body. I have no control over what happened. But what if I had done something that could have, like, my control could have affected it? And I think as obvious as it is, I think the main takeaway is that if you knew, you would have. Like, having all those thoughts of like, oh, I should have done this, you only ever have those after something has happened and you have hindsight. In any situation where you're like, oh, I should have locked the door or something, like all of them, you only ever have that from having learnt and having think, oh, I now know something that I didn't know about the past and now I wish I could change the past, but it's not possible. And you only have that thought because you cared about the person, and that if you had known what was going to happen, you absolutely would have done something differently. Because, and we all would, that's so normal and that's so fine. Like, I've had the experience where I declined to see someone who died the next week And if I had known, of course I would have gone to see them. Of course I would have done something different. But then I think of, you know, if I had known, then I would have told them something and I would have done this and I would have done that. And the entire thing ends up becoming so almost like there's no mundane way to look at it, because when you think about if I had known that they were going to, if they were going to die or this thing was going to happen, then you put yourself in the past with all this extra knowledge and there's no way that it becomes a normal situation. Even yep. if you're not doing all the things to try and stop their death or prevent it, and, you know, we can think of, you know, if I had one more day with this person, I just want to laugh with them. I just want to do all these really normal things. But that is just echoes of how much you cared about the person. It's just a sign of your love and all the things you loved doing with them. Which is just our brains scrambling to have some control over something so horrifically unfair.
Yeah. Like, even with you saying that, I just remembered a very traumatizing thing that happened to me when I was a little bit younger. It's very horrible. Basically, a loved one passed away and I was meant to call and I didn't. And, like, one of the last things he was saying was, "Where's George?" Full fucked up. Now, I could make that not mean as much because it's a horrible, horrible thing, and I can just attribute it to the randomness of the universe. But a part of me actually has made myself feel guilty about that forever. And forever, I'm going to feel guilty about that. And that's kind of a choice as well, funnily enough. So I'm kind of cool with feeling guilty about that forever in a fucked up kind of way, because it's not traumatized. It's not something which is like bringing me down, but like I think that was a piece of shit move and I can't ever let it go in terms of... Yeah. So that's the other side of it as well. But I'm making a choice there. I get it. Yeah. I'm attributing the importance to it. So yes, Cass, what you're saying there.
Yeah. But I don't know about your case personally, but for some people, like, holding that feeling is a way to honor that person. And I don't think that that is always the best expression of it, because it will make you feel like shit. And as we are learning now with all the sort of research that's coming out, your body holds on to trauma and it does affect the vessel you reside in. So I wouldn't recommend it. And if you've booked in to see a therapist, they're going to be able to talk you through all of the best ways to process things and how to sort of make peace with this deeply fucked thing that has happened. I think that's the weirdest thing, where you just have those scrambling moments in your brain where... Most things in life, you know, you have time to, you know, you'll get another chance or you'll have something that you can do or you have someone you can call. Like, we are really lucky in that as social creatures, we can always, you know, get a bit of help for something or get a bit of leeway on something that goes wrong. So when something goes wrong, you usually have someone you can turn to. But when things like this, it's death is very final. So there's nothing, and our brains just scramble and there's no one else we can turn to unless we get angry at someone, so we turn it inwards because there's no one we can ask for help with this thing. It's not like we've crashed our car and we can't call someone to be like, come pick me up, or even if you get into really deep trouble, you have a lawyer. Like, we have all these systems where someone will help us when we need our help the most, and this one, it is past the point of help. There's nothing we can do, and our brains just fry themselves trying to make sense of it, because that's not how things happen in our day-to-day life.
But there's also the other way to just boil it down completely, mm-hmm. is in these kind of scenarios, more time's never enough. Unless that time is forever, there's and this sounds cold and harsh, but there is no time that you would have added to the memories and the life that you had with this person that would be enough. So you will always want, I wish I had have had more time. So don't beat yourself up about it, because you'll think that, and it'll be there and it'll hang around, and that's part of it. The friendships and relationship you have is that you will always want more time with the people that you truly care about and that you truly love, and you won't get an infinite amount of time because the universe is rude and doesn't let us do that yet. We'll get there. We're so close. The idea that, but if I had have had more time. Well, if you had have had more time, you would have still wanted more time. So don't beat yourself up about it.
They trained it a bit.
Yeah.
They trained it, just, you know, it's like 12 hours, like you get an awkward sign, you're like, all right.
But then you're like, oh, I wish I had more awkward silences. Yeah. You know, like, yeah, don't beat yourself up about not having enough time, because the way the universe is built is you will never have enough time. But now what you get to have is you get enough time to remember them, and you get enough time to reflect them. And I was listening to someone talk about death the other day, on my journey of trying to get better at being okay with death.
Yeah.
And someone was talking about that everybody dies twice. We die, you know, first of all, when we die, and then you die the last person someone says your name. So as long as you're keeping this person's name in your mind, in your heart, in stories with friends, and you're remembering them, then they're gone, and it's completely different. And, you know, it's not the same, but it is something. And it's something that you can, you know, take time to have. But it also sounds like you've done all the steps to be like, okay, I need help and support with this. So you'll be okay through this. Just know that it's not your fault. That's not, you didn't actively stuff this up. I mean, you've had distance in between you and also COVID. And look, I'm going to go out on a limb and just say they probably knew. They absolutely knew that you cared about them. So people tend to know. Like, we know. Like, I know that people care about me. So don't make it your personal vendetta that you didn't invent a time machine. Because, you know, you didn't. And that's okay.
Buddy Tom dropping some quotes to some poetry or something. Typical.
That's beautiful, Tom. Beautiful.
Very beautiful. But I do think, like, to go kind of next to that, as I agree, like, and I don't know if this helps, but it helped me a lot. It felt a bit bad at the same time as feeling good. But like, whatever you're feeling, everyone feels, and everyone feels it. And everyone, like all your other people to them will feel that about them as well. So for me, I was like, there was an ego thing. I was like, oh, actually, fuck, I couldn't have. Yeah, everyone's thinking this exact same thing. But this feels like such a my emotion. So I think, I don't know, that it can feel a bit weird at the start, because you're like, ah, oh, this isn't me, you know, my unique flower emotion. But then you're like, actually feels better, because you're like, ah, oh, everyone feels the same sort of shitty or the same sort of good with it. So, I mean, use that. Talk to people that are friends with them. Like, they'll probably relate to you if you know them. That would be that's my go-to. People come together in tragedy. You always come together in tragedy. That's the human condition. So, yeah.
Well, on that note, I've been Cass.
I've been George.
And I've been Tom.
And we're still fine. We hope you are too.
And I feel a bit worse now.
Oh, no, that's not what the goal of the podcast is, George.
Thanks for listening. If you want to get in touch with us for some very unprofessional advice that goes beyond just go to therapy, feel free to email us on happylittlepod@gmail.com, and make sure you put somewhere in the email okay to air if you're happy to have us discuss it on the show. Hope you have a great day. You're not alone. We love you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.